For a number of people these days, it seems like there's fear in the air. Many things to fear. Many reasons for worry. Many reasons for anxiety. I was recently speaking to a grandmother, in the neighborhood, and her years ago, her adult daughter had died of cancer. And now her daughter, this woman's granddaughter, has grown up. She's a young adult now, but she's struggled with depression, and this granddaughter has fallen into a deep depression, deeper than it really has been before. And so this grandmother is scared. There's a lot of fear for her. She feels very powerless, and she's just afraid for her granddaughter. But for others, we're afraid of other things. Maybe even this morning, could be the social fear of the petty judgments that people make about you, criticism to your face, criticism behind your back. Maybe you're afraid of your medical situation, your fragile health, or maybe your financial fragility. You're afraid when you just go to check out at the cashiers. You're afraid that your card will be declined. At this table, we face our greatest fear that what comes next is going to be the end of everything good. We face our greatest fear that what comes next is only going to end with tears. At this table, our worst fears have come true. Jesus Christ, the one that the entire nation had set its hopes on, that he would be the chosen one, he would be the Messiah who would set Israel free, the hope of their heart truly died. We remember his death. But this meal also presents another truth. We do this until he comes. Christ came. Christ died. Christ rose from the dead. And Christ is coming again. And when he comes, every tear will be counted, wiped away, and weeping will end. So in this meal, we take bread. This is a bread of sorrows. Jesus took part in your sorrows, and he took part in your fears. In this meal, we take wine. Jesus bled to remove the curse for sin and to remove the source of all of our sorrows. And so when you take the supper, you say that Jesus is the only one who could know and could love and comfort a poor soul like me. And that's why he arranged this supper. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Feed on me as you do this. And we expect that spiritually he does feed us in this supper. If you've come to know Jesus Christ in this way, if you have made a commitment and committed your soul, the good of your soul, to him, if he's your salvation and he's your Lord, come to this supper. Come to this supper. We need this. We need this every week. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we are very glad that you're here. And we invite you to stay and remain with us and just take this all in. And maybe this is a time when you can ask your questions to God just from where you're seating. You don't want to take the supper if you're not a Christian. It would be to your detriment, not to your good. But we would love to answer questions afterwards. Now let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would take the bread, you would take the wine, and make it to feed us and to nourish us. And we pray that we would take it as a remembrance and a solemn assurance that we're loved by you. We pray that you would feed us and build us up, and that we would commit ourselves to the sacred call of following Christ, of imitating him. We pray, Lord, that you would be in our midst now at this supper. In Jesus' name, amen.